This episode of PRB Plus Stories is brought to you by DaySmart Recreation. DaySmart Recreation provides a sophisticated all-in-one software solution that seamlessly centralizes daily operations, streamlining processes such as registrations, scheduling, and member management, all while cultivating community engagement for your parks and recreation organization. Visit us online at daysmart.com/recreation. Beyond swim lessons, equity, accessibility, and variety attract teens to Aquatic Pipeline. By Jeffrey Spivey. Read by Sean Price. Though no two parks and recreation departments are the same, many seem to be stumped by the same problem, creating aquatic programming for teens. This demographic is especially vulnerable to peer pressure, with friends and trends dictating how they spend their time. Today's teens are also digital natives, with large portions of their lives centered around being online, be it gaming, social media, or other modes of media consumption. Hanging out at the local pool pales in comparison to what's happening in their feeds. But a handful of aquatic leaders have figured out how to attract teens to their programs and keep them coming back. The Manassas Park Sharks swim team was created 3 years ago. The name came about randomly. A shark mascot costume was already on hand, but the vision for the team was more inspired. On one end, the City of Manassas Parks Department of Parks and Recreation, located in Virginia, was looking for a long-term staffing solution. "We wanted to have engaged teens in the aquatics program in the hopes it would help reduce our lifeguard shortage in the future," says Sarah Barnett, former aquatics manager. She now serves as City Operations Officer and Director of Community Services. On the other end, Grace Cruz, Operations Manager and Aquatics Manager, recognized that area kids were aging out of the department's other programs, with the Manassas Park High School swim team or competitive leagues like the Nation's Capital swim team as the only options to keep swimming. While competitive leagues can be great for dedicated swimmers, they pose issues for teens who are less experienced or who want to participate more casually. "Those are really expensive, and they're high commitment, and they are very competitive," Barnett said. "We wanted to have something a little bit different that would book in the high school swim season." The initial idea was that the Sharks team would serve as a pre- and post-season activity for those on the high school team. In the spring and fall, when the team wasn't actively practicing or competing, the Sharks would help swimmers maintain their skills and keep up their level of interest. The team has since become so much more. Though kids are eligible to join from as young as 5 years old to age 16, teens make up the bulk of the team. And part of what drives their participation is the focus on personal development over intense competition. "I think the main goal for the Sharks is to help kids stay in shape and improve technique without having that competitive side to it," says Yenfi Vu, the team's head coach. "There are opportunities for swimmers to measure their progression during the off-season, time trials at the season's start, and a small, non-competitive scrimmage at the end to help swimmers gauge their growth. However, the results are simply a method of self-improvement." Barnett says there was an early plan to invite participants from seasonal stroke and turn clinics to join the scrimmages, adding a minor competitive element to the program. But those plans didn't come to fruition, and the program worked well without them. "We never got any complaints or frustration from any parents or kids that they didn't have that end-of-season competition," she says. "And I think it's a blessing because it's giving them the opportunity to push themselves and compete against the former version of themselves. Absent the competitive edge, the scrimmage becomes a celebration and a showcase for each shark." In addition to making swimming more approachable, the Sharks team also makes the sport more equitable, lowering the barrier for kids who might not otherwise participate. "We're a majority-minority community in a low-income community. A lot of the people in our town aren't going to be able to afford those expensive swim team fees, nor have the time," Barnett says. She also points to kids who may be first-generation swimmers in their families, who need obstacles removed in order to be introduced to swimming and learn a critical life skill. Barnett adds, "That was really important in my decision to start this team, to make sure it was a way for kids to build a friendship and a love of swimming as a tool for fitness, versus I'm going to do this so that I get a scholarship to college, or so that I can go to the Olympics." Eligibility requirements help with recruitment, too. Vu says prerequisites for the Sharks include swimming freestyle and backstroke, and having some experience in butterfly and breaststroke. Many members join the team after participating in the department's swim lessons, where they learn these skills. Essentially, There's no barrier to entry for kids already engaged in available programming. The last roadblock involves awareness. The Shark's success depends heavily on connecting with teens and spreading news about the team. Vu says word of mouth is an important factor, with teens recruiting their friends to join and have fun, and parents sharing news with fellow parents. 2. The seeds are planted early with parents who've enrolled their kids in swim lessons. Cruz says the department also advertises on social media. Additionally, other swim teams are a great resource to build up the Sharks roster. Stephen Elliott, head lifeguard for the Manassas Park Community Center, coaches swimmers at Manassas Park High School and recruits new Sharks through those connections. Similarly, aquatic specialist Brooke Fitz was previously part of the Urbana swim team and continues to leverage that link to pull in new swimmers. Perhaps most important, Barnett says the Sharks' value is the biggest draw because the team is giving kids that opportunity to swim year-round at a fraction of the price. For those families with the community center's all-access passport membership, joining the team is free. Of course, value can be quantified in the amount of money swimmers save compared to that of competitive leagues, but the value is also more abstract. Vu says each swimmer's experience is personalized, which makes them feel seen and encourages them to return. I make sure I get to know all the swimmers very well, she says. They know me, and I feel like they really enjoy being able to talk to the coach. The personal aspect, I think, plays a huge part in our retention, as well as being able to market to other people. In the most recent season, Vu worked with each swimmer for 30-minute periods, focusing the session on the swimmer's skill of choice. She says this makes a good impression on both swimmers and the parents, with everyone recognizing that each Shark receives the attention and development needed. Vu also started an awards night and helps distribute Swimmer of the Week awards, another layer of helping swimmers celebrate their progress. Over time, the program has evolved from simply encouraging participation to teaching proper technique. Elliott says his aim is to prep the Sharks for summer swim leagues, with a focus on legal strokes and scrimmages structured like actual meets. But the spirit of growth and celebration remains. That's what I get excited about, Fitz says. The core principle that Sarah generated, of accessibility for kids, not scaring them, the affordability, the ability to participate in something new, I think that core principle holds. And then each individual coach comes in and gets to also add the priorities that they have. In terms of replicating the spirit of the Sharks team and attracting teens, Cruz says leaders should gauge what their community needs and then meet residents where they are. That might mean removing prerequisites that are too difficult, lowering costs, or examining other barriers that prevent teens from joining. Once leaders have these answers, they should focus on making those revised program elements marketable to parents. Barnett says it's important to consider what actually excites teens. We tried teen swim lessons so many times, and it didn't work because teens don't want to be in swim lessons. Who's in swim lessons? Little kids, she says. The Sharks swim team reframed the conversation, removing the stigma of taking swim lessons while still teaching critical skills. New York City Parks and Recreation's Learn to Swim program is rooted in life-saving skills training. The impetus of this program is to save lives. That is our number one priority. Big, bold, capital letters, saving lives, says Candace Senior, Aquatics Project Development Coordinator. Thus, Learn to Swim appeals to all age groups, with an emphasis on promoting safety and wellness to both parents and children. With help from the Red Cross, Learn to Swim started small, with sessions at one pool in each of the city's five boroughs. Mainly due to staffing issues, staff gradually increased, and the program now has 36 sites throughout the metro area, including parks, recreation centers, and departments. Of education sites, some newly minted locations include Wagner College and Riverbank State Park. The mixture of indoor and outdoor options enables Learn to Swim to continue year-round. These two factors, framing it as a general safety program and widespread access to training, may be positively influencing teen turnout. Senior says that 3,410 participants aged 13 to 17 years participated in the program from October 2022 to November 2023. From December 2022 to March 2023, 30 teens in the same age range completed the Swimming Improvement Program, SIP for lifeguarding, and another 7 completed the SIP for water safety instructors. Additionally, During the summer of 2023, NYC Parks partnered with the Summer Youth Employment Program, managed by the Department of Youth and Community Development. Through that partnership, another 15 teens aged 13 to 17 participated in aquatic training. Part of what's driving the robust teen turnout is the department's connection with parents. Parents sign up their children for level 2 classes, and then we encourage them to branch out to higher level classes, which would be levels 3, 4, 5, and 6. Or we tell them to join our swim team, join our Learn to Dive program, our artistic swimming program, says Senior. That can lead to different avenues, whether they want to stay and work with us eventually or become lifeguards. The variety of pathways ensures there's something for every teen swimmer. Beyond the diversity of offerings, Senior says promotion is also key. The department spreads the word through its website, social media, and locally distributed flyers. Within this advertising, select offerings like the water safety instructor and lifeguarding programs or the swim team are promoted directly to teens. Media coverage plays a role as well. NYC Parks press officer Kelsey Jean Baptiste says stories on local news networks like Pix 11 News help elevate Learn to Swim and related programs, attracting even more participants. However, with so many teens responding to the outreach, it's important that the experience matches what's advertised. Senior delivers on this by personalizing the experience. She recalls working at Brownsville Recreation Center in Brooklyn. When participants saw they wouldn't be learning to swim alongside toddlers or small children, they felt more encouraged. This approach continues at Learn to Swim, with many classes divided by age group. That teens continue to engage with Learn to Swim is only one measure of the program's success. Senior points to multiple factors, such as the number of residents who learn to swim and the number of participants who go on to become lifeguards. She says the department uses skills assessment tests to gauge individual progress, but charting the evolution of all participants gives a fuller impression of how the program is performing. We had somebody join our Swim for Life program. He went on to join our swim team, and now he's coaching on one of our elite swim teams, she says. She considers this a great success story because not only did this participant learn initially, but he also continued to engage with NYC Parks programming and build a career. For any departments hoping to capture some of this magic, Senior says outreach must be inclusive for all age groups, and there must be a diverse range of programming options. Senior says this keeps the participants interested in learning and wanting to develop their skills, not just from Learn to Swim, but bigger and better. Alabama's YMCA of Greater Birmingham covers a wide jurisdiction, 7 membership branches, 2 youth centers, a camp, and a seasonal pool and lakefront. Aquatics Director Trey Sullivan estimates the organization needs 150 to 180 lifeguards in the winter and upwards of 250 during summer. Of this staff, Sullivan says roughly 75% are teens. During the summer of 2023, each facility was fully staffed at a time when aquatic facilities continue to be plagued by lifeguard shortages and other Birmingham area pools struggled. Sullivan says their success stemmed from widening their scope to think of the broader community need, not only their summer staffing requirements. It wasn't about staffing our pools, says Kayla Buckner, Marketing and Communications Director. At the Y, we want all bodies of water to be safer. So, instead of competing for lifeguards, we'll train them. The YMECA of Greater Birmingham offered a free lifeguard certification program for anyone in the community who wanted to sign up, which saved each participant the usual $220 fee. The requirements were minimal. Swimmers needed to be 15 years old, but they weren't required to sign a reimbursement contract or commit to working at the Y. They also needed to complete a series of prerequisites in line with the American Red Cross Lifeguard Certification Program. Formal training wasn't required, but basic competency was expected. In 2023, Sullivan says the organization certified 601 lifeguards, and they hired 95 for the Y, working out to 1 in 6 lifeguards who were certified for free and retained for employment. Sullivan considers this a success. We know that our classes are high quality. We're sending good lifeguards out into the community. So, it was really a community service for us, he says. The initiative was fiscally doable because of the scale of the Y. Buckner says the annual giving campaign, community impact programs, and other donor-supported initiatives enabled the organization to absorb the costs. Aside from the free certification program, Sullivan says running year-round operations helps. Whereas other local pools only run operations for a season, the Greater Birmingham Y maintains at least 20 to 25 year-round staff members and works from that base to build its peak period staff. Outreach also has played a part. Buckner says there was a big organic media push. That included a press release and articles from several news outlets. "We got so many calls after every time a news station would put our program on the local news," Sullivan says. Furthermore, he conducted several school site visits and hosted a Meet the Teacher-style open house, during which potential lifeguards could jump in the pool and meet their instructors. Also aiding the Greater Birmingham, YMCA's success is long-term investment in teens. Sullivan says he and his team have worked to bridge the gap between 8-year-olds, when they typically wrap up introductory swimming lessons, 14-year-olds, who are just on the cusp of qualifying to lifeguard. This has led to a junior lifeguarding program for ages 12 to 14 and a swim team program for ages 15 to 17. The hope, Sullivan says, is that young swimmers start in swim lessons, move on to intro to swim team, try junior lifeguarding, and then become lifeguards. He says, they're engaged for the whole time, and they're practicing their swimming. Buckner also points to the organization's 7th grade initiative, through which any 7th grader can join the Y for free. "We know that 11 to 12-year-old range is such a pivotal and transformational time for those youth," she says. "We're kind of creating our own pipeline for future lifeguards. There's a long game to be played here." Where other facilities may start struggling to staff their pools, Buckner says, the Y wants to have that community built year-round. Other factors helping Sullivan and Buckner succeed include reducing the stigma around learning to swim later in life, which includes a big push in teen and adult swim lessons, taught by empathetic instructors who help participants feel comfortable. There's also safety around water, which offers free water safety lessons. And there's financial assistance available for those who need it, whether it's a 100% scholarship, 50% reduction, or some other benefit. Parks and Rec departments don't have to have the wise resources to achieve this result, however. Sullivan says what's most important is meeting teens where they are, visiting schools and speaking to broader goals beyond simply becoming lifeguards for a particular department or organization and offering year-round programming. Buckner adds that departments should help one another by training quality candidates instead of competing. These steps all suggest investment over time. Sullivan says, "We're not just going to wake up and have great 15-year-old lifeguard candidates one day. There's 15 years of work that has to come before that.